Hello, welcome to the FinTech Scaling Show podcast. If you are like most, you are here because you want to gain insights on how to best scale a business. To achieve optimum scaling, many metrics are important. Sales, leads, cost of customer acquisition, gross revenues. However, as you know, no statistic is as important as profits, both net and gross. For over a decade, your host, Richard Doherty, has helped his clients increase their profits, often turning them into profit-rich winners. To help listeners like you achieve stellar profits in business, Richard has written an ebook entitled Unlock Hidden Profit Zones. It includes profit-making advice from Richard, as well as some of the top guests he's had on the podcast. Just for listening, it is yours free. Simply go to scaleupconsulting.co.uk/sign-up. That's scaleupconsulting.co.uk/sign-up. Now, over to the show with Richard Doherty, founder and host.
Hello, I'm Richard, a change and transformation consultant and self-confessed fintech enthusiast. And today, we continue our series looking at the evolution of fintech in 2023.
So I'm super excited to have Aaron on the show. Aaron is the head of European Banking and Payments at Wise. Welcome to the show, Aaron.
Hey, thanks for having me. How's it going?
Yeah, really good. Good to have you here. And as we kick off this series, I've been asking all the guests what their view is of fintech in 2023, and actually, most precisely, what excites them in 2023. So I'd like to ask you the same thing. What excites you about fintech in 2023?
Oh man, where do you start? So I think, first of all, maybe unpopular opinion, but I actually hate the word fintech. Just because it's
very unpopular. I'm going to end the call now.
it's so broad and it's so varied. And it's cool because the industry is super exciting, right? You've got companies like Wise, who we've been doing this now for over 10 years, and we're very different to maybe an insurtech startup that's just trying to figure out how to make insurance in some industry work. I think it's super cool. I think on the payment side of things, we've seen a lot of innovation that's been helped by regulation, for example, but there are other areas, you know, open finance, investments, insurance, which maybe haven't seen that regulatory boost that's sort of being talked about now. So yeah, on the payment side, I'm still super excited. There's loads going on, open banking, various parts of that finally starting to move after talking about it for so long. And that's just in the UK. And then when I speak to regulators and policymakers all over Europe and around the world, they always look to the UK as a leading example of where kind of payments, innovation, fintech are leading the way. So I think 2023 will be good. I think it's the year that we probably start to see the benefits that we've talked about for so long just start to crystallize a bit in the UK. And then hopefully that will then speed up some of the kind of slower, more bureaucratic markets in the world. And I think that's super cool.
And listen, I mean, it's good to hear your optimism, right? But we do have in the UK, especially most probably, and other parts of the world, we do have a bit of an economic crisis looming. We are heading into recession if we're not there already. And the picture across the globe from an economic standpoint is somewhat gloomy. So, you know, with this taken into account, do you see consumers' habits shifting due to the economic outlook in 2023?
Yeah, I think that's a very good point. With the economic outlook, with the recession, I think for a lot of people, the way they spend their money and how much money they do have to spend, the discretionary spending will change, and actually saving money will become a top priority. And that might be saving money in terms of how much money you have to put aside, but the reality is that for a lot of people, it won't be about saving money to put aside because they simply won't have that money to put aside. It will be about how can I save money by looking at the costs I pay and how can I reduce some of those costs so that I can use that those savings to pay for things that I need. And when you look at things like transfers, money service and cross-border transfers specifically, we still see a huge, huge problem there because actually one thing we've been fighting for a long time is to actually educate consumers on how much they pay for a cross-border transfer. We've seen this a lot. We've done exercises where we've asked customers to say, like, you know, you've seen those 0% fee, no commission transfers, and you compare that to a service that does advertise their fee. And so often a lot of consumers choose a more expensive option because they don't understand how much they're paying. And, you know, in a recession, in a time of where money is tight, it's super, super important that people understand when they're getting ripped off, because they can then make an educated decision to say, actually, I don't want to spend more on this. I'd rather make a cost-conscious decision because I know what I'm doing. So yeah, I hope the consumers are more demanding on education on what they pay. And I think it's a responsibility of any innovative service, anyone in this industry who, you know, this industry exists because people want to do better than the status quo. And the way that we can do things better at the very basic fundamental level is by educating customers on how much they pay for their services.
And just on the education bit, because it's come up a few times in my conversations over the last few weeks. What are you guys at Wise doing to help your public and educate them in the new mechanisms that, you know, maybe save them money or give them a different option outside of the traditional sort of status quo, as you mentioned?
Mm-hmm. And there's a couple of things. So on the transparency front, again, this is so ingrained in our values, we offer a price comparison tool. And we're really proud of this because, you know, like any price comparison tool, you can go on it and say, I want to send £1,000 to Spain in euros, right? And what we'll do is we'll list out how much people pay if they use Wise, and we'll list our competitors. And actually, we'll also tell them when we're not the cheapest. And we'll say to them, actually, you know what, on this occasion, you'll probably save a bit more money on if you use one of our competitors, and we'll say, go and use them if you want. And A, we think that's the right thing to do. B, it helps build trust because consumers know that, look, this company is so upfront and committed to transparency, they'll tell us to go and use someone else if we need to. And actually internally, it helps us drive the conversation internally to be like, what are we doing? Why are we not the cheapest? And what can we do to be better about it? So it's little things like that where we are committed to transparency. We're committed to ensuring that people pay, well, people know what they're paying. And this is a problem in Europe, in the UK, but it's a problem pretty much all over the world. But something like cross-border transfers, it's actually important to get it right on a global basis, and not just the UK basis, because yeah, this is a global problem actually. And yes, we're feeling the pain in the UK, but so are people in other markets. And maybe it's when you're receiving money, you might be receiving some financial help from abroad, for example, and you don't want that assistance to be taken in intermediary fees or bank fees. You want that in your pocket. So all of these things do become more relevant during the course of the economic downturn.
Want to increase the profits in your business? Download Richard's ebook right now, Unlock Hidden Profit Zones. It will help you find new ways to increase your profits. Best of all, it's free. Go to scaleupconsulting.co.uk/sign-up. That's scaleupconsulting.co.uk/sign-up.
Yeah, and it's sort of past, my mind sort of goes back to 2008. I don't know where you were in 2008. So I definitely know where I was. I was sipping a coffee at Pret, and all of a sudden Lehman's went boom. But out of that downturn came a lot of innovation, right? And a lot of new companies came up, a lot of new digital banks all popped up. And, you know, I'm thinking that during a downturn is a time to build. During a downturn is a time to look at those harder and longer problems, look at them and figure out how to solve them. Do you think that over the course of the next year or maybe the next few years, it's time to really innovate in this space, or is it a time to standardize?
I think you could probably do a bit of both. I think, look, the innovation should continue to happen, right? And you're right, the fintech industry, the boom, I know, again, it goes back to this definition of fintech and when did it start, but the real boom in fintech and those financial services innovation really happened after the back of the crisis in the late 2000s, the first decade of 2000. And what we saw then was that this innovation in financial services, because people were so fed up with the status quo, they were so angry that we were basically in an economic downturn because the banks and the, you know, the overzealous lending practices and some very scrupulous behavioral practices caused us to end up in a recession. And yes, it it's a bit different now. The triggers are different. The world is a very different place, but innovation should still continue to happen. And I think, you know, we're seeing that now. The good thing is we've got those foundations. You know, we've got the foundations of regulatory frameworks such as PSD2, and, you know, starting to talk about PSD3 now. Various parts of open banking take it beyond just does open banking work to actually how can we build things like variable recurring payments to ensure that we build things in a sustainable way that really drives value. So I think, yeah, innovation should continue, but standardization is also good, because what you don't want to do is build these things that are so fragmented and so not linked that then consumers have to do the work in putting them together. That doesn't work for anyone, because we're essentially just kicking the cost down the road, and someone's going to have to fix this again in 5 or 6 years' time. So innovating with a view to how can this play nicely with the rest of the industry is always very good and very helpful.
And this also leads us to adoption, right? The more you standardize, the more you consolidate, the easier it is for, you know, future playbooks, etc., to adopt and to integrate with different technologies. I know there's a lot of work going on in the cloud world with standardization of data models, etc. And the big thing in their world is definitely standardization, innovation, as you say, but they standardize to make certain that other players outside of that bubble can integrate with them at some point. And as we look over the horizon, you also mentioned regulation at the top of the show. And what do you see the regulator's role being in 2023? Is it going to be one of still looking at making certain that, you know, the fintech ecosystem is sort of a growth ecosystem, or are we taking, or they're going to take a different view and try to make certain that risks are mitigated so that framework is actually established and actually adopted going forward?
Again, I'm probably going to sit on the fence and say both. I think regulators are super important in protecting consumers. Right, we're an industry that where we take consumers and we hold their money, and they have to trust us. Right, well, we've been lucky. We hold now several billions in customer funds globally, and that's because we're a regulated institution in so many markets around the world. And when you're taking customers' money, when you're holding them, when you're moving it for them, that's not something you can mess about with. That's something you have to take very, very seriously. You need to have safeguards and controls to make sure that you get it right. And we'd welcome that in any case, because it's just something that we have no interest in getting wrong. It's something that we want to mess about with. And I think any company that's serious about this should take regulation very seriously. Now, that said, there are ways that you go about doing that to ensure that you still have innovation. Now there is, and I think it's down to kind of the regulators, the culture that they want to bring about in their financial ecosystem, which kind of determines how they go about doing that. So we'd always encourage regulators to think, well, just because we're a company that takes money and that moves money, that we're not a bank. Banks are very different in terms of the business model. What we want to do is we're committed to making moving money around the world, different currencies, very convenient, very cheap, and very quick. A bank's business model is very different, so don't regulate us necessarily in the same way. However, when it comes to holding money, you have every right to accept that we should have the same safeguards to make sure that customer money is protected in similar ways if needed. So I think there's an element of, yes, you should encourage regulators to protect where necessary. However, the approach they take and how they think about solving, you know, how they think about protecting customers should be different depending on the business model.
Yeah, totally in line with that. Totally agree with you there. And as we come towards the end of this and we wrap up the session, what do you think are some of the key payments trends that leaders out there need to be aware of as we march into 2023?
Yeah, I think the ones that are really exciting for me is to see open banking really move forward to become hopefully a much more mainstream thing, right? Now, I've sat in so many conferences over the last 5 or 6 years where people have come and said, open banking is going to change the world in the next year. I don't think I'd go that far just yet. But I think for me, we're seeing things like variable recurring payments. And what that really does is using the foundations that open banking has built over the last 5 years allows us to build some really cool things. So one use case could be, for example, you know, you might be waiting, again, because of the economic downturn, for a more favorable exchange rate to send money to pay your mortgage abroad, or to pay your friend, or to pay your son or daughter for their tuition. And actually what we could do is when we were thinking, well, could we build some logic on the back of open banking to say, well, when the rate hits a certain amount, we move the money from A to B from your bank account using open banking when the time is right. And there are conversations of variable recurring payments to say, could we do that again on a monthly basis? So things like that are super, super exciting. And then on a broader trend, taking the principles of open banking and applying them to open finance. So we're seeing, you know, if you've got a 2 or 3 bank accounts in the world, we can see that actually you can get that information. But what if you've got an investment account? What if you've got a pension? What if you've got a stocks and shares account? How can they play nicely with all the innovation that's going on in the payments world? These are the things that we're hopefully going to start to see crystallize a bit. And I'm super excited about that.
Awesome. And listen, as we wrap up today's show, how can folks, if they want to get in touch with you guys, what's the best way and best mechanism to get in touch with either you or the folks at the team at Wise?
Cool. Well, as always, if you want to chat to us and check out our products and services, wise.com or the Wise app is the best place to start. If you want to find me on LinkedIn, you can do. It's Aaron Dharmaraja on LinkedIn, and I'll happily answer any questions there.
Brilliant. And listen, thanks so much for joining us today. And for all of you out there, looking forward to continuing our discussion next week as we jump into what's next in FinTech for 2023.
Thank you for listening to the FinTech Scaling Show podcast. Please take advantage of the free gift Richard has waiting for you. It's his new ebook, Unlock Hidden Profit Zones. Simply go to scaleupconsulting.co.uk/sign-up. That's scaleupconsulting.co.uk/sign-up.